Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, the VS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This episode of Pick Six is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I'm here with Legend News of All for Tuesdays with no Brady, just Brinson. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Yo, where's I got Brady at?
I don't know. I guess he's probably like talking college football with Matt Leinart or something somewhere.
Is that what he's doing, man?
No, I have no idea.
Been, Brinson, you good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Off season's rolling right along. It's crazy how I did my second mock draft, turned it in today, and we've got I did the first one right after the combine, and you have all, you're putting, guys in different spots, and then you free agency happens, and you're like, well, that mock draft was stupid. Like, what was for the sure. point of that? You know, sure. like I'm giving the Steelers a quarterback now. There's just so much different stuff. So we're going to go over free agency grades for the AFC today, as well as some news. How are you doing, man? Good? Everything good?
I'm good. Just like you, right? Me and Brady actually just did a mock draft, I think last week, and it just came out. But in the time that it came out, right, free agency had happened, and also the big trade with the Vikings, right, getting an extra first-round pick, and one was thinking a couple of those picks to try to move up even higher in the draft. So it's just like after that happens and then the draft comes out, you're like, this makes absolutely no sense.
Well, you know what? You're right, though. So, like, it sucks because I did my mock draft for today, and I was like, oh, man, I'm definitely going to do a Vikings trade-up. But then it was like Ryan Wilson did that yesterday, and I saw, like, Daniel Jeremiah did it today.
Yep.
And it's like – everybody's going to do it. It's fine. It's obvious. I think it's a clear.
It's going to happen.
Right. And the only, this is similar, I think, to, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it's similar to what the Eagles did when they went to go get Carson Wentz. They made a deal to acquire draft capital. Let's see, it was like with Miami. I'm trying to think of exactly what the trade was, but they went and got an extra pick. In other words, they were trying to, like, get the picks ready so that way they could move up. And I do think in this particular draft, whether it's the Cardinals or the Chargers or maybe even the Patriots.
I was going to say, the Patriots are a dark horse there. I think they could potentially turn out of that spot.
Well, you just have these three teams that, if you're not in love with one of the three quarterbacks, or if you're Arizona and, like, Monty Osifort's shown, like, a willingness to trade back and the Chargers have all these holes all of a sudden, it makes a ton of sense. The question is, when do you trade up if you're the Vikings? Because if you trade up to 5 before the draft, the Giants can then leapfrog you if they want to go get J.J. McCarthy. Or, it'd be very curious to see when they make their move.
Well, I think the thing is, like, we saw this a few years ago where the San Francisco 49ers, I believe we were trying to move up to the number 2 spot, but the Jets were like, no, there's no way because we're definitely taking a quarterback. I think you can kind of say when you look at Chicago Bears and the Commanders, I think they're solidified in their spots. Like, I don't know if there's enough draft capital for them to move off of the number 1 and number 2 spots, knowing that they can get their guy of the future, their future quarterback, and they feel real comfortable with the two top guys. The thing is that the Patriots, right, if they don't feel comfortable with the third guy, do they potentially move back? Right. Or there's even a scenario where they think Marvin Harrison Jr. is all world. Maybe they don't want to move off of that and they take him because Jacoby Brissett, right, he's a quarterback you can win games with. So he could be a perfect bridge guy. And then they could even maybe take a guy in the second round or maybe next year's draft to sit behind Jacoby Brissett and be that bridge guy. So you look at a guy like maybe Bo Nix going in the second round. Could they potentially take him in the second round and let Jacoby Brissett start the season while Bo Nix sits and learns behind him? Makes a lot of sense that now you actually have a foundational piece in Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick number three.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could also make the case where it's like, okay, would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix and a bunch of first-round picks? And I think, the hit rate is just low for quarterbacks, even guys who are taking up at the top. And so it's like, would you rather have Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison or Jaden Daniels? You know what I mean? Like, the lot goes into it, I think.
Well, I think also when you look at that too, right, because we talk about the hit rate for quarterbacks, but what you have to throw in there also, Brinson, was the scenarios they were put in, right, the situations they were put in. So to your point, if you're the Patriots, you're like, yeah, we can grab a quarterback, but if our roster is not good any now, he'll be one of those quarterbacks on the 50% hit rate that didn't do well because we didn't set him up for success. Where if you take a guy like in the second round and you get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. or even trade back and get more draft capital, you can get a couple frontline pieces. That way, when you do put the young quarterback in, he's in a better situation to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't matter how good of a prospect you are. You get thrown into a really bad situation. Look, I mean, the Colts knocked Andrew Luck into retirement. So anything can happen if you don't play enough.
You just look at the Patriots, what they did with Mac Jones. Like, you don't even got to go far. Just look at the last quarterback you had.
I mean,
like,
Justin Fields.
Success. Yeah.
Yeah. Even Trevor Lawrence, he's had some weapons, but hadn't had a great offensive line.
He has no excuse now. They literally did everything to make sure he has every piece of weapon possible on the offense and defensive side.
Speaking of former top picks or high-ranking picks, Chase Young signed with the New Orleans Saints a one-year $13 million deal. He's number two overall by Washington. Got traded for a third-round pick at the deadline last year. But got traded for less than his teammate Montez Sweat, which is pretty wild. Been banged up, hurt, all this. But feels like a pretty good spot for Chase Young. You're playing alongside Cameron Jordan. You know, you've got you're going to get six games against the Panthers offensive line. Right. You get the
– Was they retooled in the interior?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, so, like, you feel like you're going to get a lot of single looks against, maybe some questionable offensive line. And if you're Chase Young, it's definitely a prove-it situation where you need to go out there, have a big year, and then try to get paid because, I mean, frankly, his career has just not lived up to the hype.
Yeah, it's interesting that it took this long for him to sign in free agency. And then you look at the number, it was actually a pretty, strong financial, number for the Saints to give him this late in free agency. I believe he's getting $13 million for 1 year. And a lot of people were wondering, like, how healthy is he, right? What does the knee potentially look like? Because that was always the issue with Chase Young going forward. And I would say in the beginning of this past season, Brinson, he started off on fire, right? 5 sacks in 7 games, gets traded, like you said, to the San Francisco 49ers. And then 9 games, only has 2.5 sacks and isn't really making an imprint now. Had a really strong Super Bowl. So I think that's maybe what kept teams a little bit enamored. And this is almost like a 1 year prove-it deal for him. But my question is, what are the Saints going to do? Because Cam Jordan, who's always been consistent, is there, but he had a dip in production last year. But then Carl Granderson had a career year last year and got an extension as well. He had 8.5 sacks, and Carl Granderson was their best rusher last year. So if you're paying Chase Young $13 million, are you going to tell the seasoned vet he has to sit down? Because the money that you're giving Granderson is starting money as well, too. So it'll be interesting to see how they, maneuver around that lineup. And also, Peyton Turner was a guy they took in the first round a few years ago before that. So you talk about a lot of high draft picks on that defensive line for the Saints. And then Carl Granderson, who has been a consummate pro and just has developed and got better every year, a homegrown guy that they, gave a deal to, and he was deserving of it.
Yeah, we talked about yesterday with the Saints. It's like, they're just kind of like there, and I don't really know what they are. Like, it's like they have like this high floor. It's like they're just going to win 8 or 9 games.
Correct. And then it's like, this was my thing, but not to cut you off. Like, we were talking about this on Spotlight last week, and I gave them, we were doing winners and losers from free agency. I had the Saints as losers, and people were, like a little pickled by that. But I'm like, there's no way you can look at the rest of the division and see what the Atlanta Falcons did, the Tampa Bay Bucks did, and stay pat. Now, again, I get it. you're in cap purgatory, but you're in that every year because you keep kicking the can down the road with some of these bad contracts. At some point, you just got to start over and have a struggle year and reshape this thing. That way you're not always grouped into, yeah, they're going to win 8 or 9 games. They're not going to get to the playoffs. And if they do, they're going to lose in the first round. Like, is that what your legacy is going to be with the New Orleans Saints? Like, if your ownership there, are you comfortable being in that realm every single year? Yes, we're going to have to win 8 or 9 games. We're in a not-so-good division. Maybe we could sneak in and win a division at 9 games. No, the Tampa Bay Bucs got significantly better, right? The Atlanta Falcons got significantly
better. And the Panthers got better.
Yeah. Carolina even technically got better, even though they lost Brian Burns, but they've solidified the interior of that offensive line, traded for Deontay Johnson. Like, they're making moves, and yet you're staying pat, and you're kicking the can down the road, and you're going to win with another 8 or 9 games. Like, this is my thing with the Saints. That's why I had them losers in free agency, because you can't stay pat and think you're going to change, right? That's literally the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over.
Hope is not a plan.
And thinking it's going to change. Exactly.
Right, yeah. All right, let's talk Texans uniforms real quickly. I love the fact that there's an old Cal McNair story about, I think it was Sage Rosenfels and David Carr were in the building. They're like, have you met the owner's son? He's like, yeah, he's in his office. He's like sitting on a beanbag chair playing video games. didn't have a desk or anything like that. I love the idea that this thing was like something leaked out with the Texans uniforms. So in order to like not deal, it was like, oh, this is the leak out there. It's like Cal McNair goes on Reddit. Like, what? Like an NFL owner of billionaires on Reddit? And he's like, how about just here's just a photo of he's like, how about just a photo with Tank Dell and Nico Collins? And these are the uniforms. Exactly. I guess I respect this. I don't know what the hell to make of this. I don't really know they're that different either.
Like, once it's out there on the internet, it's out there for life, right? It's in pen. So it's like if it's already leaked, you might as well put out a more clear-cut version of what you were trying to do marketing-wise. Put that out there so fans aren't just looking at this picture, which looks like it's at the bottom of a stadium, a high school stadium at that, or maybe even an old baseball field, right? The photo that got leaked. But, yeah, I like this new uniform by the Texans. I mean, I wasn't mad at their old uniforms. I thought they were pretty good, but it's the simple details. Like, you see Nico Collins' uniform, the horns, right? People probably don't even notice that. That's actually two horns coming in. That's the Texan horns. And then the curvature of like the three on Tank Dell. It's like the supple things that make the uniform clean. Now, not one of the best uniforms, but a clean uniform. And as a player, you can get saucy in that, right? You can go all white like they did, or you can go all like dark blue with the cleats too to make it seem like everything is one color and you can't even tell that you got socks on. It's all one color. So like there's a lot you can do with that uniform. Like I said, it's the supple things that make this uniform clean. And for players, you can really accessorize with this type of uniform.
I like. They basically look like the Atlanta Texans.
They just like they do kind of look like that. It almost looks like black instead of blue, right?
I know. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll include the Texans in our AFC free agency grades coming up next.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is bracket season. Make sure. I think we'll have a pick six bracket. Yeah, it's crazy about it. Like, we don't have the NFL, like, there's no rest for the weary at all. It's like bracket season. I mean, it's like Sunday selection Sunday. It's like you have like 72 hours to get your bracket in. I was like sort of thinking about it today. I was like, oh my God, it's like basically it's due like right like soon, you know?
Yeah, so EK is down here. I didn't know he was down here in the Fort Lauderdale studio. So I ran into him. He was like, if you filled your bracket out, I was like, EK, to be honest with you, man, with free agency and draft, I haven't had a second to even look at a bracket. Like, I'm literally going to have to go home and just put it together real quick before they actually start games, which usually I like to do a little bit of research, see, you know, what's going on. But with this year's draft and free agency, there's going to be, you said, no rest for the weary. All that diving in, it's just going to be a feel-good bracket pick.
Yeah, just don't pick Kentucky. That's the thing. It's like every time I pick Kentucky and it's like I'm like –
oh, upset like, in the first or second round.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's like me and my buddies, like wives, who like really don't follow sports at all. It's like we're the ones who pick Kentucky, and it's like I'm like, all right, I see it. I am the chalk donkey here. I've made a mistake once again. I think I'm just going UConn. Honestly, I mean they're an absolute truck, dude. They're hard to beat. They're sort of like the plus, you know, now we've seen like the Chiefs repeat. Maybe we see UConn repeat. Who knows? We will get to the Chiefs in a minute.
I will sprinkle a little something on Iowa State. I think Iowa State, even though they're still a number two seed, which is ranked really high, a lot of people thought they could be a one. I think this could be an Iowa State year.
I got a Carolina outright too, just for an emotional hedge. The Baltimore Ravens.
I don't know. Like they did it back in the day.
I know. It's actually the I'm terrible at math, clearly. It's the 50-year anniversary of NC State's 1974 first national title team.
I'm picking NC State to win it all.
I hope you're right. If you're going to do that in your bracket, definitely bet on it because you want to be able to put that cash in your pocket. All right. The Baltimore Ravens, free agency. And Harry has some great graphics up here. We'll start with the Ravens. Susan's not going to give out grades. Obviously, they added Derrick Henry. Lost Patrick Queen, Morgan Moses, and John Simpson. Re-signed Justin Madubuike, Malik Harrison, and Brent Urban. So pretty good work from them. I think for me, dudes, the question is, you know, how much will we see a step back from the defense with Mike McDonald leaving? I think you're going to factor him in as well. Patrick Queen goes to the freaking Steelers. That's brutal. I love the Derrick Henry addition, but I do think you have concerns about the offensive line. Now Kevin Zeitler signed elsewhere. He signed with the Lions on Monday night, maybe, or Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. I'm going to give him a flat B here. What say you?
I was right around there. I gave him a B minus because the losses up there, you talked about the offensive line losing not only your starting right tackle, but your left guard as well. And then you look at Patrick Queen and what he's meant to that team. Him and Roquan Smith, probably the best linebacker duo in all of football. And then you add losing your defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald. But a name that isn't up there, Geno Stone, right? He is a true ball hawk. And that's the one thing about the Ravens. They do a great job in developing their young players. I think he was a 6th or 7th round draft pick. But they get those compensatory picks back, right? And then they find another Geno Stone. Then they find another Patrick Queen. So if you look at who's going to be playing next to Roquan Smith, it's either going to be Malik Harris, who re-signed with them, or Trenton Simpson, who they took in the draft last year. So what they do, they just do a really good job of developing. And then you look at the tackle position. It took Daniel Falele a few years ago. I think they're hoping that he can take that step and be that right tackle for them as well. So I just gave them a B minus because they lost so many pieces on defense. And then, you talked about it, half of their offensive line won't be there. So it's all about continuity. Now, you can build that up in the offseason, but they haven't made any moves to shore up that offensive line or really bring in the defensive help in besides the guys that they groom. But that's who the Ravens are, right? They're going to build through the draft, and teams that have success, they can do that. So I gave them a B minus.
Yeah, follow LA and then Ben Cleveland, who was a 3rd-round pick in 2021. It's like, all right, they've got Linderbaum from 22, Cleveland from 21, follow LA from 22, and then it's Amuve Lalu, the 6th-round pick at left guard probably now, and then Ronnie Stanley, who was a 1st-round pick in there. So
I think McCarvey's still there too, right?
Yeah. All homegrown offensive linemen. And if it's like, if they're right about the offensive line and being able to coach it up, then we won't be worried about it as much. And Derrick Henry will be running free. But if not, you do have some concerns in that offense. The Cleveland Browns brought in Jameis Winston, traded for Jerry Jeudy, signed Devin Bush, lose Joe Flacco to the Colts in free agency, brought back Shelby Harris, Maurice Hurst, and Za'Darius Smith. I like the Jerry Jeudy move. You know, you get the Alabama guys. Like, ultimately, the Browns, you know, I think one of the more underrated losses, too, for Cleveland here, Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach who goes to Tennessee with his son. I mean, like he's the best offensive line coach in football. So I'm going to sort of include that and give the Browns a C+. I'm not blown away by what Cleveland did. I don't think it's like a terrible free agency period, but I mean, you know, you give them an A+, give them a C+, give them a D-, give them whatever you want. It's all going to come down to can Deshaun Watson play well in this Kevin Stefanski offense next year, or will he be healthy? And I think if not, it's going to be tough to pull that tightrope act that they pulled last year, winning a bunch of games with backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, Brent, that's literally what I have in my notes right here, right? It all comes down to what Deshaun Watson can do. I gave them a B+. I thought the Jerry Jeudy trade, getting him for two late-round draft picks, a guy that has a ton of potential that went in the first round. You're hoping now with Kevin Stefanski and getting a fresh start, we can finally realize that potential with the Cleveland Browns. And then a name that's not up there as well, Jordan Hicks, I thought was an underrated signing at linebacker. They did lose Anthony Walker, but Jordan Hicks has played, you know, at a high level. And they're getting Za'Darius Smith back, a very versatile guy that can play inside and outside. That was a big get back for the Cleveland Browns. So I gave them a B+.
All right, that works. We'll move to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers, I mean, this is a, if nothing else, it's at least spicy, right? I mean, they go and sign
it's Patrick. Definitely that.
Yeah, they signed Patrick Queen, who is a former high pick of your arch rival in the Ravens. You lose Devin Bush, the former first-round picker you traded up for. He signs with the Browns. Kenny Pickett is PO'd because you signed Russell Wilson for the vet minimum, and so he's traded to Philadelphia. You trade Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson, even though the Panthers are going to cut him. Maybe you're going to cut – I mean, like, that's a hard one to figure out. And then on Saturday night, they go and trade for Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick. Look, this is a wholesale overhaul, particularly in the quarterback room, where you spent a first-round pick on Kenny Pickett, but now you have, you know, some interesting upside with Russell Wilson, or bounce back upside with Russell Wilson, and then Justin Fields. Like, I like getting Fields for a sixth-round pick enough, and I like spiting your rival enough that I'll give him a B+ here.
Yeah, so I went right around there. I gave them a B. When you look at them, we'll get to the quarterback room in a little bit because that's a discussion on its own. But getting Patrick Queen, right? Taking away a strength from the Ravens and getting stronger on your side of the defense makes a lot of sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, like what they did, if I'm not mistaken, I think they signed Deshaun Elliott at safety too.
Yep.
Adding him with Mika Fitzpatrick makes a nice tandem at the safety position. Deontay Johnson, we know there was a lot of ups and downs there, but getting Dante Jackson in return for that trade.
It's hard to do the two of them. It's like, don't trade a Dante Jackson for Deontay Johnson. That's not fair. That's unfair alliteration. Come on.
I mean, that was big because that was a weakness for them opposite of Joey Porter Jr. Now, again, they still might attack the corner position in the draft, but now you got Dante Jackson who can play in the inside and the outside. So now, even if you do draft the guy, you can slide Dante Jackson inside at the slot position where he's very comfortable as well. So I gave them a B. And then when you add,
I was just saying, dudes, I'm curious what you think. Because, I mean, you add him in, it's a great – you add Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. When do you think – and the answer could be never. When do you think there will be a quarterback competition here? The Steelers came out and said Russ is the starter. Dude, an Arthur Smith offense, this is going to be pound the rock. It, like, fits everything Justin Fields does well.
There is a competition. I think this was more so – let's not forget, let's go back. Kenny Pickett last year, there's a – unwritten rule, and I think it's the dumbest rule ever, that you can't lose your job to injury, right?
Right.
But that's the case. We never have the greatest player of all time in Tom Brady.
Right.
Except so that's a ridiculous rule that I've ever heard. Like, you absolutely can lose your job to injury, right? Your best ability is availability. You got to be on the field. So supposedly there were rumors that Kenny Pickett was upset once he was healthy enough that he wasn't put back in the starting lineup. Not only did Mitchell Trubisky take snaps, but Mason Rudolph led this team to the playoffs. So there was no way they were going back to Kenny Pickett. And then they brought up the idea of bringing in Russell Wilson, and supposedly he wasn't receptive to it, which baffles me because this is the NFL. You got to compete to play and compete to stay. Like, I don't know where this attitude is of these kids, like, feeling a certain way. Like, you're getting paid for this job. Like, the NFL don't owe you anything, right? Go out there and compete. Even if they say Russ is going to start off as a starter, well, you go prove the Steelers right for taking you in the first round. I could not understand that. I think this is a message just to test Justin Fields' psyche, kind of like they did with Kenny Pickett, right? They're always evaluating you, Brenton. There's always times where coaches put out little messages just to get it back to the team. I think this was a message to Justin Fields to push him to see what type of mental toughness he has, because there's no way you can tell me you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you're comfortable going out there with Russell Wilson as a starter from day one. I said it right after the Kenny Pickett trade. I was like, if I'm the Steelers, I'm calling the Chicago Bears right now, because I'm not comfortable with Russell Wilson being our only, like, you know, valid starter at
Ross
the quarterback
or bust
position.
Yeah,
exactly. So when you look at, you know, what Justin Fields has done, we've seen the progression over the last few years. Everybody wants to know, can he really develop inside the pocket? That's been his biggest question. We know how electrifying he is. Well, with this Arthur Smith offense, like you said, it's going to be based off running the football. So you think it plays into what both of these guys do well. The only thing is, with Arthur Smith, he likes to attack the middle of the field, and Russell Wilson has not done a good job of throwing the ball in the middle of the field, right? Justin Fields has done a much better job than him of throwing the ball in the middle of the field. So I believe this will be a competition. I'm not saying Russell Wilson doesn't start the season, but I can see a scenario if he comes out the gate slow that they turn, because they've done it already, right? They did it with Kenny Pickett. They did it with Mr. Trubisky. Like, they will turn to the next guy. I thought this was a home run trade, getting Justin Fields and Russell Wilson in there for less than $5 million, Brinson. Yeah. That's crazy. Yep. A quarterback room for less than $5 million and two guys that have been proven starters before. So I gave them a B for it, because we don't know how the quarterback room is going to technically work out, and there's still a lot of holes on this team. When you look at it, they're still going to need probably another pass catcher and probably even another corner as well, and they're getting a little older on the defensive line. So I would have liked to see them sign somebody a little bit younger on the defensive side, but they could address that in a draft. They do just like the Ravens in regards to developing guys and then getting them paid or letting them leave and getting compensatory picks back.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like Russell Wilson, they probably did it, probably said it a little bit for Russ's psyche, because, you know, he thinks he's the starter. Let's not forget 2012, Russell Wilson, third-round pick, takes Matt Flynn's job, and you point
Matt
out
Flynn
the cash here.
That year.
You point out the cash here, man, like, what you're paying Russell Wilson and what you're paying Justin Fields is like $1.6 million for Russ and $3.2 million, I think, for Justin Fields. If one of them's not working out or one of them's being a pain, you can just cut him. Like, you can trade him, cut him, do whatever you want with him. Yeah. You can flip Justin. If Justin Fields is great, Russ is playing well, you can flip Justin Fields for a third-round pick, or you say, like, Russ, this year's yours, and then Justin Fields, we're going to – you know, there's lots of options. They gave themselves lots of maneuverability here. I like it. The Cincinnati Bengals, you mentioned Geno Stone, another – in division defection from the Ravens, also add Zach Moss. They trade Joe Mixon to the Texans, lose DJ Reader and Jonah Williams as well. Of course, they tag T. Higgins and re-sign Drew Sample while also adding Sheldon Rankins. And then today, I believe, right before we started.
You saw my notes. I had already put it in there.
I did see that. Yeah, they signed Trent Brown. They now have, like, I think, 777 pounds of offensive linemen at the tackle position. I mean, it's insane. Orlando Brown and Trent Brown are massive men. I think you give the Bengals an A for this offseason. I don't love the T. Higgins franchise tag and then the lack of a contract, and it worries me he might walk. But, you know, Geno Stone, a great addition. I think flipping Zach Moss and Joe Mixon is a win for them. DJ Reader thing stings, but Sheldon Rankins is a sneaky good veteran.
He's a good player.
Yeah, and you Trent Brown, Jonah Williams, you know, six or half dozen. I think Brown, if he plays to his upside, is even better.
Man, I literally put this down. You saw it, Brent. I said B plus, but if they sign Trent Williams, Brown, it goes to an A. And that's exactly what happened today, right before we got on air. So when you look at this Bengals team, I was worried that maybe they had already missed their mark, right? Because once you pay the quarterback, it's kind of hard to split that money up. And we know Jamar Chase is going to get a deal. You talked about T. Higgins, but now with that $30 extra million, that's allotted for each team. We can see a real scenario where T. Higgins stays on his team, and this is like an all-in year for the Cincinnati Bengals. You talk about having two number one receivers, right? And if you look at both of these tackles, when they're in their right mind, right, and when they're locked in, two of the better tackles in football. And I actually just interviewed Trent Brown the other day, you know, going into free agency. And his thing was, like, he doesn't worry about all the accolades, and people will say, like, he shows up when he wants to, and he's had injuries. But when you ask defensive ends in the league who's one of the hardest guys to go against, without a doubt, it's Trent Brown. It's not even a close. For a guy to be that size and be that nimble that he is, and with the arm lift that he plays with, I mean, when he's locked in, he's one of the – I would say he's a top five offensive tackle in the league, right? And then Orlando Brown, you know, with the pedigree he has coming from not only the Ravens but the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So now you got two bookend tackles as well. You worried about, you know, your quarterback – Joe Burrow getting banged up. You should be solidified at the tackle position for sure. And then you talked about it, Sheldon Rankins, a sneaky good pick. He's just been a really good D tackle his whole career. Doesn't get a lot of the accolades that some of the other D tackles get. And like you said, DJ Reader losing him hurts. But Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill make a really good tandem at D tackle. I talked about Geno Stone and my affinity for him. But what's not up there is Von Bell is going back to the Cincinnati Bengals. And he was like their tone setter the secondary. Because that Dax Hill experiment did not go well for the Cincinnati Bengals. I never understood why they took him in the second round. Because to me, he was just like Mike Hilton. He was a really good slot corner. They just thought they were going to move him to safety and thought it was going to work out. And I just, for the life of me, didn't understand why they had that train of thought, right? Because he's an elite slot guy. But now you have two elite slot guys. Be interesting to see, do they move him back to corner? Maybe he plays more in those dime packages and get him out of the safety position, because Geno Stone and Von Bell would be a nice pairing. I'm like you. I gave them an A. T. Higgins coming back on a franchise tag, especially with how strong the draft is. I don't think a lot of teams are willing to give up that much draft capital for a receiver right now.
Yeah, and I think the Geno Stone, you're sort of Geno Stone and the Von Bell thing, you're sort of making up for the mistake of letting Jesse Bates walk, which I certainly they regretted. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will rip through the rest of the AFC, giving out free agency grades next. Before we do that, though, make sure to join our podcast bracket group. We, of course, we have, it's March Madness, man. You got to get in on the bracket group, and we have CBS Sports app.
See the QR code. Join the group.
Yeah. Use the QR code. Thank you. I was trying to find the read. It's further down. It's bracket time, so get yours in now on the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new Nissan Rogue and trips to the 2025 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms for rules and details. Use the QR code to get in the podcast bracket group and go head-to-head with all of us. Let's talk more free agency next.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Finally, not Linda got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, we already talked about the Houston Texans uniforms. Now we're talking about the Houston Texans themselves. Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, who they added and then gave an extension to. They lose. Yep. So it's like really interesting. They basically flip-flopped here, dudes. They give up Joe Mixon. They get Joe Mixon, give up Devin Singletary, give up Jonathan Grenard, get Danielle Hunter. And then you have re-signed Dalton Schultz, which I thought was key. Desmond King, Cameron Fairbairn. I'm a big fan of what they did this offseason. I give them an A-.
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher than you. I gave them an actual A. When you look at what they've done, right, you talked about losing Jonathan Grenard, who's a young ascending player. But now you get Danielle Hunter, a guy four out of the last five seasons that has had at least 10.5 sacks per season, right? A guy that's constantly gets to the quarterback. You lose Blake Cashman, but then you get Azeez Al-Shaair, who is very familiar with D'Amico Ryans from the time at the 49ers. I think you even get a little bit better at the linebacker position there. Name that's not up there. D'Amico Autry, to me, has been the most underrated player, Brinson, in the NFL for the last decade. A guy that is versatile, that can play inside and outside. So they've literally revamped their D-line, even though their D-line was actually pretty good because they lose Sheldon Rankins, they lose Jonathan Grenard. But I think they get a little bit better on defensive line, which when you look at D'Amico Ryans, right, coming from San Francisco, that's what he wants. He wants at least 4 to 6 rushers that can constantly create havoc in the backfield and get after the quarterback. So I love right there. And a sneaky good pick. pickup, Jeff Okudah, a guy that can slide into the slot for them. You know, they'll probably get another corner still because it looks like Steven Nelson will most likely leave in free agency. But I like them picking up Jeff Okudah, a former first-round pick that can play that slot corner position. They'll get another guy on the outside. And then you also got Stingley on one side as well. So this was a team that exceeded all expectations last year. You still got a quarterback on his rookie deal only in his second year. Dalton Schultz coming back was massive. Had a real rapport with him as well. I love what they did. I gave them an A.
It's hard not to be high on the Texans overall, just what, you know, what they are. The only thing that scares me a little bit is the Jaguars did the same thing the Texans did last year, like 2 years ago. And then it's like, all right, last year the Jaguars are the team to love, and the Jaguars keep crashing back down to earth. You see,
come down to that quarterback position.
That's right. That's right. I think it's hard not to, when you talk about the Jaguars, it's hard not to look at them and say, man, really tough miss by them. With the Calvin Ridley thing, you go from Calvin Ridley to Gabe Davis, and I really didn't have like an A-plus year, but Gabe Davis is a hit or miss deep threat guy. They did add Eric Armstead, which is really nice. Mitch Moore's a good pickup. You know, you bring back Josh Allen, Ezra Cleveland, Ronald Darby. I don't like hate what the Jaguars did, but I think that they got cute trying to re-sign Calvin Ridley after the start of free agency and to try and save themselves from going from a third to a second round pick. And as a result, you know, you have Calvin Ridley who signs elsewhere in the division. We'll get to the Titans in a minute. But, like, you know, they basically – if they maybe make Ridley a bigger offer before then, or, you know, you just figure out a way to keep Ridley, I feel like a lot better about their chances. I just hate that you lose Ridley and a third-round pick. It's a bad look.
Well, I'll push back on that. I love what the Jaguars did this offseason. When you look at Calvin Ridley, right, you have to – there's a lot of things that you have to equate to – him potentially not signing back with the Jaguars, right? One is age. He's 29 years old. He wasn't like
he's
a
old,
lot of
he's
guys
old,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a lot of guys that hit free agency at 24, 25 years old. He came into the league already old and then essentially missed almost 2 years of playing time with the Atlanta Falcons before he signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then when Christian Kirk got hurt last year, that's when you expected Calvin Ridley to step up and be the guy. And it just didn't happen. It was more Evan Engram stepping up than actually Calvin Ridley. Now, there was rumors that he had issues learning the playbook. He also had some concentration drops last year. When you look at what they were going to have to pay him compared to what you're paying Gabe Davis, I think it's a home run. Like, and I know people say Gabe Davis is hit or miss, but then when you look at it, right, there's a reason why there's an issue between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, right? When you look at the target share compared to Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, where there was games where Gabe Davis didn't even get a target in the game, or he may have had two targets while Diggs was getting 14. And vividly, I remember a couple games last year, the Eagles games coming to mind when Gabe Davis was wide open and Josh Allen missed him and they were arguing on the sideline. And there was another game after that where that happened as well. So, like, again, you got to equate also what is going on with the X's and O's when you talk about hit or miss with Gabe Davis. But a guy that can stretch the field, and I think the biggest honor is when he was the number two receiver, a fourth-round pick, and they named him captain. That kind of lets you know what his teammates think about him as well. And he's got that dog mentality. I love what they did with Eric Armstead. Me and Pete Prisco were actually talking about that. I thought the Texans could make a push for him. And then there was rumors that came out that they actually did make a push for him. Again, when you look at him coming from San Francisco and being with D'Amico Ryans, it makes too much sense. But him going to Jacksonville, they needed a guy that could rush the pocket from inside, right, to pair with a, you know, Trayvon Walker and also Josh Allen. So that made a lot of sense. Then they kind of shored up the interior of that offensive line, bringing over Mitch Morse, who's been a consummate pro at center. Ezra Cleveland, I was mad the Jets didn't try to give up a six-round pick for him last year in the middle of the season. Jacksonville did, and then they signed him to an extension. So really shored up the interior of that offensive line. And then Darius Williams, I thought, played really well. Now he struggled down the back end of the season. They cut him. And they bring in Ronald Darby, who had a hell of a year for the Ravens when nobody expected him to start last year for the Ravens. He played really well. So getting him for like $5 million a year was a big get for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I like what they did. But to me, like when we talked about Deshaun Watson, this Jaguars team comes down to Trevor Lawrence. Like, is he going to take that step as the golden child, as everybody has called him? Like, will he be that guy that everybody expects him to be? Only time will tell. But I know this for sure, Brinson, they've taken away every excuse he has not to have success with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Just one funny thing I think is worth noting. Nate Tice of The Athletic points this out. But in 2021, Christian Kirk had one game with 100 plus yards, and it was against the Jaguars, and they promptly signed him in free agency. And then last year, game day, three games with 100 yards, and one of them was against the Jaguars. They're like, all right, we got to get him. I just think it's like Trim Baldy's got some weird.
And remember, everybody kind of scoffed at that Christian Kirk deal, but when Kirk got hurt, that offense plummeted downhill. That lets you know how important he is to that offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, if everybody's healthy, they got certainly enough playmakers to make it work. The Indianapolis Colts lose Gardner Minshew, but get Joe Flacco. Fan favorite for fan favorite. You love to see it. Bring back Michael Pittman on the tag and give him a new deal. Resign Grover Stewart and Zaire Franklin. Also added Raekwon Davis and lost Zach Moss, but they still have Jonathan Taylor, of course. I mean, I kind of give this like a C+. I'm not really blown away by anything with the Colts in terms of they weren't hyperactive, but I do like the idea that you keep Michael Pittman for your young quarterback.
Yeah, I gave them a C because they added or re-signed a lot of their own homegrown talent, which makes a lot of sense. Grover Stewart, Michael Pittman Jr., Zaire Franklin, all were guys that grew up and developed through the Indianapolis Colts. So it makes a lot of sense. Let's not forget, this was a team with Gardner Minshew, the backup quarterback, that was one game away from making the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they were right there. They were at the precipice and didn't get in when nobody gave them a chance. Again, coaching matters, right? What Coach Steichen has done there has been night and day from what they were, in years past. The Raekwon Davis one was a head-scratcher because him and Grover Stewart have similar games. So, when you look at them, and you know they have DeForest Buckner, one of the best D-tackles in football, like, who's starting and who isn't? And they paid both of them great money. So it's just like, it was a weird signing to me. They lost Zach Moss, but obviously with Jonathan Taylor there, then that shouldn't be a big major loss, right? Gardner Minshew leaving, getting Joe Flacco. To me, that's kind of like a middle ground thing. Like it's a fair trade-off, right? So I gave them a C just because they weren't really active. I do love them extending, you know, Kenny Moore to an extension. He is the best slot corner in all of football. And it's the highest paid slot corner in football now.
The Tennessee Titans. I'm going to guess you probably don't give them a huge grade, dudes, because they give Calvin Ridley an insanely large amount of money.
Goodness
they also signed Tony Pollard, brought in Lloyd Cushenberry as well. Lose Derrick Henry, of course. Danico Autry out the door. They re-signed Nick Falk. It's the quintessential breach note. They also added Kenneth Murray and Chidobe Awuzie. They just today actually added Sebastian Joseph Day. I kind of look at this as – and they picked up Mason Rudolph, if anyone cares. I kind of look at Tennessee as if – and I do agree with you, coaching matters. Coaching matters a lot. If Brian Callahan – we know Bill Callahan's a really good offensive line coach.
Yeah.
They can add a tackle in the draft pretty easily, I think. You know, depending, they can even trade down for some draft picks and add a tackle.
Yeah.
If Bill Callahan does what he normally does, and if Brian Callahan's a really good coach – one, I think it's possible the Bengals offense sort of takes a little sideways step or maybe a little backward step. And then two, I don't know. I can kind of squint my eyes at this and look at the Titans and say, maybe the Titans aren't going to be as terrible as I thought they were. I'm going to give them a B+ in free agency, but it's a lot to be determined. You're signing a running back to a big deal. And then, you're signing an older receiver to a big deal. Nothing guaranteed here by any stretch.
Yeah, I gave them a C+. I mean, the Titans had money, and they definitely used it this offseason. I mean, we kind of talked about Calvin Ridley earlier. I just thought that was an aggressive number, like $50 million guaranteed for a guy that's 29 that has some concentration drop issues. And when you look at that deal, by the end of it, he's going to be, what, 33 years old? So, again, I wish nothing but the best for him. I just thought that was a bit high, but they – it's like you said, it's almost like they were bidding against themselves, but maybe they felt like they were really bidding against Jacksonville and the Patriots, who are rumored to want Calvin Ridley bad as well. And then you look at what they did with, Lloyd Cushenberry. I thought that was a good pickup. They did lose Aaron Brewer, but they, I think they get better there at center with Lloyd Cushenberry. And the Chidobe Awuzie one was a little head scratcher because if this was Chidobe Awuzie from 22 before the injury, 100% agree with it. But you can tell he wasn't himself last year. So maybe they're banking on him going back or being back to the guy he was in 21 and 22. I mean, that's the only thing that rectifies that. And you thought about the Tony Pollard one, head scratcher, just because him and Tajay Spears have very similar games. Like, who is going to be the physical back in short yardage? I mean, maybe Haskins takes over that role because he's more of a bigger physical back. But I was a little bit surprised. You gave him $8 million with how well Tajay Spears played last year. I would think maybe you'd give him more of a chance to be a league guy, but maybe not. Maybe this will be a 50-50 share. But $8 million for a 50-50 share is a lot. I don't to me, Tony Pollard is going to be the starter if you're paying him $8 million.
I think it's at least a good, all right, we can get a decent look at Will Levis and maybe find out what we have sort of set up for the Titans. To the AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs. It's hard not to love the signing of Marquise Brown.
Man.
Kind of a perfect fit with what they do. Chris Jones back in the fold. Still Legarius Sneed kind of hanging out there as a guy that on the tag, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Swapped out punters. Matt Araiza, cleared of all those charges, is now in there. Could be really interesting. I mean, there's Tommy Townsend, of course. But I think I give the Chiefs an A-. I mean, they won the Super Bowl, and you really don't have that much. Like, this to me is amazing. It's really similar to what the Patriots did for years, which was like win again. And like you would always see the Broncos would win a Super Bowl and lose everybody. The Ravens win a Super Bowl, lose everybody. You know, it's like this, the attrition of when you win a Super Bowl is just natural, and you just don't see it with the Chiefs now. I think people want to play for Andy Reid. I think Brett Veach and Andy Reid are really good at figure out how to keep everybody on board. And of course, playing with Patrick Mahomes is always a benefit. So A- for keeping everybody, man.
Yeah, I gave them A because of what you said, the re-signings, right? Drew Tranquil kind of reminds me of this signing like Marquise Brown, right? And Andy Reid talked to him to coming over, signed a one-year prove-it deal, then signs an extension. He was the best player on the field in that AFC Championship game versus the Baltimore Ravens. Well, you look at Marquise Brown, this is a scenario where they're used to trying to pay somebody like an MVS $12 million a year. Well, they paid half of that to get Marquise Brown. So this could work out where he goes off kind of like Juju Smith-Schuster, it gets a free agency deal big the next year. So to me, it's low cost, but again, it could be great reward from that deal. I think even Irv Smith is a nice signing for them behind a guy like Travis Kelce as well. But the big signing obviously was Chris Jones, getting him back in the fold, the best defensive tackle in all of football. The Darius Sneed, we talked about it, that extra $30 million. I stated this earlier in the offseason. I was like, there is a scenario where Legarius Sneed could stay with the Kansas City Chiefs just because they get that extra $30 million to pay, you know, everybody on the team. So this could be a scenario where Legarius Sneed, he's out there trying to get traded, and obviously he wants more guaranteed money. But if this is a scenario where, like, a team is only offering, like, $20 million guaranteed out of a three-year deal, well, it'd be smarter just to sign back with the Chiefs because you're guaranteed 19.8 just this year alone.
Yeah.
And you have a chance for a three-peat, and then you can hit the market again next year. So, like, I think it's interesting that a trade hasn't materialized for him yet. Also comes down to draft compensation as well for what the Kansas City Chiefs are asking. But for me, this late in the game, because the deal hasn't got done, it's looking more like that he'll go back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you keep that whole defense intact.
We're going to jump to the Broncos, but with good reason, because – they lost Russell Wilson, Justin Simmons, and Jerry Jeudy. Are you seeing? You see what I'm seeing? Is that Jerry Jeudy? Worth noting, just to bring it up, so we don't get lost in the mall. But Jerry Jeudy signing a 3-year, $58 million extension with the Cleveland Browns with $41 million in fully guaranteed money. It's a big deal for Jerry Jeudy.
Andrew Berry just throwing that cash around.
I know, man. I mean, look, you got Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy. You feel like that's a pretty good combo there, plus David Njoku. And there's not a lot of excuses for Deshaun Watson not to be good in this offense, quite frankly. I mean, I think Judy's a really good number two behind Cooper. And you know, if you're the Broncos, you lose him. But, like, you see what Jerry Jeudy wanted to get paid. I'm not surprised that Sean Payton didn't want to pay him that. For the same reason, I'm not surprised that Sean Payton was ready to just move on from Russell Wilson. Doesn't feel like Sean Payton is in the business of being extremely patient when it comes to this Broncos roster and what was waiting for him when he got there.
I mean, you see my facial expression. I did not see that happen. I literally thought
I didn't either.
Now, again, when you trade away draft capital for a guy, depending how high that draft capital is, you usually can tell whether a team is going to sign an extension with a guy. Like when the Montez Sweat was given up, or when the Bears gave up a second round pick, you knew there was going to be some business done there, right? When you saw Leonard Williams go for a third round pick, most likely there was going to be business there. But I believe it was a fifth and a sixth round pick for Jerry Jeudy. So I thought this was going to be, let's see what he does this year and figure it out. But obviously, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski saw something that they liked, because what you said, $41 million guaranteed?
Yeah, $41 million fully guaranteed.
Wow, that's a big number. Like, that's a big, big number, especially when they got Amari Cooper and they already traded for Elijah Moore last year. So, and that's a massive number. So he's clearly in their future plans. They saw something at the Denver Broncos where they feel like this guy can be a foundational piece on this team because they have a number one receiver, and some people would say they have a high end two. And Elijah Moore as well. And they still got David Njoku. The thing is, there's only one ball to pass around. Like,
I know, right? And they got Nick Chubb. They're like kind of a run heavy team already. Yeah,
so Cedric Tillman, I thought, was a really good draft pick just last year as a third round pick. So, wow, I did not expect that at all. Like, that's
I did not either. What
Jerry Jeudy, but I did not see that one happening.
It's hard to give a good grade for the Broncos. I mean, I think you're basically tearing things down here, by the way. So I'm going to give Broncos C minus. I mean, look, I get you're hamstrung by the Russell Wilson dead cap number, correct, and you're moving on. They're rebooting. It would be impossible for them to have a good grade here in free agency, I think.
I gave them a D. You were nicer than me. Again, a lot of that equates to the Russ money that they have to give up and reboot and restart. But right now, I think Jared Stidham, is he the only quarterback on the roster?
They got Ben DiNucci too, but yeah.
Okay, they signed Ben. Well, so like you would assume, and where they pick at, it's not like they're going to be able to get a quarterback that maybe, you know, Sean Payton really loves. So like, do you put him out there now?
Your second round pick is going to New Orleans too for Sean Payton. So they can't really you either got to give up a future first to move and trade up, and then you already have the Minnesota Vikings who are lingering there. There's all this competition for that fourth quarterback. Maybe they go with a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix in the first round. That feels a little high for those guys. I think Sean Payton's going to let.
That makes a lot of sense, but I wouldn't want him to go there because I feel like a quarterback's not set up for success there right now.
I think Sean Payton's going to try out Jared Stidham and be like, all right, if it doesn't work, he doesn't work.
He's trading back in the first.
Yeah, and just trying to pick up some more assets. I think he realizes you're in the same division as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You don't have a quarterback on your roster. Jim Harbaugh just got into town with Justin Herbert.
And the Raiders are significantly better, too.
Yeah, good luck winning. Bad grades for the Broncos. You mentioned the Raiders. Pay a ton of money to Christian Wilkins. Give Gardner Minshew, legit starter money, it looks like. Sign Harrison Brown as well. Lose Josh Jacobs, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Hunter Renfro. A lot of leftovers from the previous regime. And then re-signed Andre James. I don't know. I'm torn on the Raiders. I think B- for me here for Las Vegas. I love getting Christian Wilkins. He is a little bit older. You're paying him, he's because Aaron Donald retired, so he's behind only Chris Jones in terms of interior defensive lineman. And then I just don't know if I want to be all in on Gardner Minshew. That's not – and then the running back position is in there.
I mean, you look at this Raiders team and what my guy Antonio Pierce has done. He's changed the culture, the attitude of that team. And we saw with Aiden O'Connell, this team actually compete and almost make a run at the playoffs last year. So you feel like with a guy like Gardner Minshew, the way that defense has been turned over, because I believe last year was the first year in like 15 years they were a top 10 defense. And now you add Christian Wilkins to pair with a guy like Mad Max Crosby. I think they're still an edge guy away. I think they need one more edge guy to solidify that defensive line. Losing Amik Robinson was big too. He was kind of like a little bit of a tone setter in that secondary at the slot corner position, but I'm sure they'll fix that as well. And Andre James, getting him back at center was really big as well. So they definitely need to get a right tackle. They need another edge guy. And I think, depending on what they do in the draft, I don't see them being too aggressive to move up. I think Antonio Pierce feels with the success he had versus the Chiefs last year and the rest of the division, if we have Gardner Minshew, a guy that just doesn't lose a game for us. We saw him almost take the Indianapolis Colts to the playoffs. We can live with him and maybe even take a guy in the second round. Or if they like a guy like Michael Penix, I would say trade back and get him at like pick 15 or 20. That way you don't feel like you overdrafted at, I believe they're at pick 11, if I'm not mistaken. 11 or 12, something like that. Yeah.
Chargers, we both are going to go with a C minus here. It's hard. Like, if it were anybody other than Jim Harbaugh, I'd probably go F. I know. They're in cap hell, and then you get rid of, you lose Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're just losing a lot of guys where, it's hard to get excited about it, right?
Yeah. The thing that was interesting to me, I knew Mike Williams most likely was going to be gone because they got $20 million back if he was released. But the Keenan Allen one was a head scratcher, right? Because my thing is, why not try to work on an extension with him? Now, they wanted him to restructure, but to keep.
I think he wanted him to take a pay cut. Is the problem?
Yeah, but to his point, he was like, "I'm coming off of 1,200 yards in like 12 games. Why would I restructure?" Like,
yeah, how about no?
I'm not restructuring. Now, if you want to give me an extension, we could do that. But I'm not restructuring. That's not smart business. Right. So I was a little surprised they didn't try to work that out, because now you're left with Quentin Johnson on the roster, and that's about it at receiver. And then Edge, I thought for sure that Joey Bosa would get traded away. Now, Khalil Mack, again, made sense to do a restructure with him, just because he's coming off of, what, like 15 sacks this year? Like, yeah, like that's that. He's Mr. Consistency as well. But with Joey Bosa, he's constantly hurt in the last few years. I was thinking that they would try to get off of that deal and maybe try to trade him somewhere else. But maybe they couldn't find a partner that was willing to take on that contract. And that's why, you know, Bosa was able to come back and, you know, with a restructure.
All right, let's move through the AFC East. Got to do it kind of quickly because we got to get you to HQ, the Buffalo Bills, add Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins to help retool the wide receiver group after Gabe Davis leaves. They also lost a ton of guys. Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, brought back Deion Dawkins, DaQuan Jones, and A.J. Epinesa. I mean, I think they actually did pretty good after the initial purge of everybody. That was the thing. It's like, oh my God, the Bills are done. And it's like they kind of shored things up. I give them a B.
I gave them a B minus. When you talk about some of the contracts they got off of, these were older players, right? And a rule for a lot of GMs is like, you'd rather let a guy leave a year too soon than keep him a year too late, right? So I think that was their mindset. The interesting thing is with the Curtis Samuel signing, I think he's getting like 10 a year, and Mac Hollins, does that kind of let you know maybe that they are willing to move away from Stephon Diggs? Because there is some rumors that could be a thing. So I thought those are interesting signings, right? Because Curtis Samuels, they actually gave him pretty good money. And when you look at Khalil Shakir, you would think that he would take another step in that offense. So, like, why are you willing to pay Curtis Samuel that much money?
It's a lot of number two wide receivers.
Yeah, unless you're comfortable in letting Stephon Diggs potentially walk or get traded.
All right, the Miami Dolphins bringing Kendall Fuller, Jordan Brooks, and Jonnu Smith. They lose Christian Wilkins to cap stuff. They lose Robert Hunt, which is big for the offensive line. They got to cut Xavier Howard for the secondary. I actually thought, all things considered, the guys that they had to lose, they did an okay job. I give them a B minus for it.
Yeah, I gave them a B plus. We know one thing about Stephen Ross. He's going to spend that cash, right? And this was another team that was in cap purgatory. They were in the negative going in to this offseason, and they, you know, like you said, some of the names that they lost, Emmanuel Ogbog, Xavier Howard, let Christian Wilkins walk, let Robert Hunt walk. But I thought that they did a really good job of bringing in some good players, like Andrew Brewer at center, because Connor Williams had the knee injury, and supposedly that's still going to be an issue for him going forward. But Jordan Brooks was a big signing, right? You lose Jerome Baker, but you pair him with David Long. I think that's a strong linebacker room. We talk about David Long and also Jordan Brooks. And then Kendall Fuller was a nice signing to pair with Jalen Ramsey after you lose Xavier Howard. So for a team that was quote-unquote cap-strap, like, they signed some really good players in free agency. So I gave him a B+.
I agree with you, too. I think considering the cap situation, not too bad. Your boys, the Jets, Javon Kinlaw, Tyron Smith, what an ad. Morgan Moses, they shored up the tackles. They lose your boy, Bryce Huff. You nailed it on him having a big year. And lose Jordan Whitehead as well. Bring back Thomas Morstead and Greg Zuerlein. So nice job on the special teams. Nice job on the offensive line. Not as great on the defensive line. But they're still loaded on defense. Yeah. I think it gave Joe Douglas a B+. So A-.
This is how you know I'm not biased. I gave them a C+. You got to take it with a caveat, right? Because I think they still need to add a veteran receiver, right? When you look at what they could do and potentially adding like a guy like Tyler Boyd, which maybe they were waiting for this Tyron Smith deal to finish before they did that. But I think Joe Douglas did a heck of a job as far as getting value for guys, right? Like Tyron Smith, it comes down to how healthy he is, right? Nobody thought he would sign a $6.5 million deal coming off an all-pro season, right? Nobody thought that was ever going to happen. Incentive-based, but it's all based on him being healthy and playing. And then I love what they did signing John Simpson and also bringing Morgan Moses back, getting some more physicality on the offensive line. Javon Kinlaw, well, I think was a decent sign. A lot of people were up in arms because they thought what the deal originally was going to be like $7.5 million, but it's actually a lot lower than that cap-wise. So I thought that was a good signing. But I think there's just holes at the safety position and receiver that I thought that they could have addressed in free agency. And they may still, right? That's the thing about Joe Douglas. He's calculated and not overspending for guys. So, like, again, Tyler Boyd and guys like that are still out there, could potentially still sign somebody like that.
I also think too with the Jets, it's like a little bit optics where it's like you have to fix the offensive line, and you can't just bank on doing it in the draft. And so like going into the draft, knowing, okay, we can take a wide receiver or a tackle, whichever one's the best for us, falls to us. It's not a bad look. Like Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, nice ads if they work out and can stay healthy. The Patriots.
Man.
Lose Mac Jones. Trade Mac Jones to Jacksonville. I forgot to mention him in the Jacksonville stuff. You lose Devontae Parker. You re-sign Kendrick Bourne. You transition to Kyle Duggar. And then you bring in Austin Hooper, Jacoby Brissett, and Sione Takitaki. And nothing really blowing my skirt up here, dudes. I mean, this is like
Robert Kraft is spending none of that money they got. They got a lot of money in open cap, and he ain't spending none of it.
Well, this is sort of why you mentioned off the top. It's like I wouldn't be that surprised at all if they didn't take a quarterback at three. Like this looks like a team that says we're not going to be good. We're not going to be good next year, and we sort of know it.
Yeah, and when you look at it, I give them an A+ for signing Michael Winu back. He was one of the top free agents in free agency this year, a guy that has flexibility and versatility that can play at guard and tackle. Talking to Trent Brown, he said he thinks he can even play center. He thinks he has that type of smarts about him. But like you said, right, they signed Jacoby Brissett, which I love, but they didn't spend any of the money. I think they had like the third most cap room, and they didn't spend any of it this offseason, right? They signed Kendrick Bourne back, which I like as well. They gave Kyle Duggar transition tag, which a lot of people were surprised about. I wasn't, because I think Kyle Duggar's a hell of a player, right? And then you can let a team do your bidding for you, but nobody actually put in an offer for him. So you keep him under that transition tag instead of the whole franchise tag number. So I gave them a D+ just because they really haven't done much this offseason. And to your point, it'll be interesting to see what they do at pick three, because they haven't really done much this offseason. So if you do take a quarterback, is he really set up to have that much success in New England?
Yeah, I think it would be crazy to suggest that the Patriots look like they're in a good spot heading into 2024. But that's okay. You know, let's see what they do. Let's see what they do with number three in the draft.
Yeah,
and let's see the Patriots are a mystery. We just don't know what this coaching staff is going to look like. How they're going to be. You can be high on Gerard Mayo all you want. It's just hard to know what New England's going to be in the immediate future. And quite frankly, the roster was not in good shape when Belichick left. It's going to take some time for it to get to a spot where it is in good shape, and they got some work to do. All right, that'll do it for us. AFC grades for every single team. Little dash of news on this Tuesday. For Deuce, I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll get you to HQ. Make sure to check news out there. Of course, Spotlight, right? Was it Spotlight?
On the network, yep.
CBS Sports Network. You can watch Deuce on television. As always, buddy, a pleasure. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later.
Appreciate you.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.